Good morning, friend, and welcome to the Calvary Baptist Broadcast. This is Pastor Bray, and I am so very thankful that you've chosen to be with us this morning. Now, some of you may be on your way to church, or maybe others are just coming home from church. Perhaps you're maybe not going to church today. It's not part of your weekly schedule. But I just want to tell you, I'm so very glad, so very thankful that you've chosen to be with us today. And I hope the broadcast will be an encouragement to you, and especially will draw you more closely to the Lord. Well, today's a special day here at Calvary, and we have some missionaries that are going to be with us today from Siberia. Now, you remember when all the difficulty started, it's been a while ago, about a year ago or so, and the embassies and the government was saying, if you're in Russia, you need to get out. If you're Americans, you need to get out. And these dear folks, they decided, you know, after thinking about it and saying, wait a minute, we're here and we're telling these folks in Siberia about the Lord Jesus and that God can meet your needs. And so they decided, for the benefit of those folks there and for their love for them and their desire to help them through whatever difficulties come, that they would just stay. And they've done that all this time. But now it's time for them to come home and be with their family for a little bit before they go back. And so we're thrilled, absolutely thrilled to have them with us. Now, it's going to be in the 9:30 hour during our Sunday school. So if you're going to come, you're going to have to skedoodle right along to get here on time. But perhaps you can make it. Maybe you live here close to this church, and we'd be thrilled to introduce you to the Joneses, and I'd love to meet you personally. But many more of you could possibly come at the 10:30 hour. So he'll be speaking in the 9:30 Sunday school hour as well as the 10:30 hour. And you'll get to meet his family. Now, some of us already know part of his family. They have two daughters that attend Ambassador Baptist College down in the Shelby area. And one of their daughters, Christina, comes up here every weekend and every Wednesday night. She's a part of our church family. And as she helps with the children's church and in the choir and special music, things like that, she's been such a blessing. We're going to hate to lose her now that school term is just about over. But it's going to be a blessing to meet the rest of her family. So we would love to have you. Now, if you don't know where the church is, where it's not hard to find, it's really easy to find. If you're on the Asheville Highway, just from downtown, get on the Asheville Highway, and you're going to kind of angle off to the left there at the stoplight of Haywood Road. And you go down, about a mile and a half, something like that, and you'll see a church that has a large cross in the parking lot, right at the very front of the parking lot. You go past the pizza place on the right just a little bit, and just a stone's throw from that is where Calvary Baptist Church is. And we would just be thrilled to have you as a part of those who will be visiting with us this morning at Calvary Baptist Church. My goodness, we would love to meet you personally. Well, you'll remember, those of you who were with us last time, perhaps you'll remember, a lot has gone on between then and now, I know. But perhaps you can remember that last week we were in the book of 2 Timothy, and just looking at a passage of Scripture that is relative to all of our lives, especially those of us who know the Lord as Savior. Now, if you're listening this morning and you say, Brother Bray, I appreciate your being on the radio and it's an encouragement. However, you just need to understand I'm an agnostic or I'm an atheist, as I've had some tell me in years past, but they listen every Sunday. Now, that's when I was up in Asheville. I was there for 20 years as a pastor and on a couple of radio stations, the talk radio station up there and then one of the Christian stations. And I had a gentleman that I met, and he just said, boy, he recognized my voice. I must have a weird voice. But he recognized my voice, and he said, I listen to you every Sunday on the radio broadcast. And he said, now, I'm an atheist, but I listen to you, and I like the broadcast. Well, no matter why he listens or why you listen, I am so grateful that you do. And I hope that today's broadcast will be a blessing to you as well. But if you're not in the family of God, oh, my friend, oh, I hope that today, this will be the day that you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Now, last time we spent a good bit of the broadcast talking to those and telling them about God's special invitation for salvation. Now, to be saved simply means there's a danger. It's implied in the term saved. It implies that, well, if you've got to be saved, there must be something from which you need to be saved. Well, and that's exactly what the Bible says, that Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And it talks a lot about the word salvation. So when it does that in the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Now, if you die without the Lord Jesus, you're going to be adjudicated. That's a term for judging. When I worked for the state of Georgia with juvenile delinquency, I was in court a lot with the young people who were either incarcerated or on probation to me in three different counties in Georgia. And so I would go to the court, and the judge couldn't get it out there. The judge would listen to the district attorney or whomever was bringing the charges, or he would listen to those of us in the juvenile court services saying this individual has really straightened their lives out, or these individuals have straightened their lives out, and judge, we're recommending that they be discontinued here in the juvenile court system. And the judge would listen to the other, he would listen to us, and then a gavel would come down, bang, and he'd say, I adjudicate you, or I judge you as being innocent or guilty, or we're going to retain you on probation status, whatever it was. Well, when an individual who is born as a sinner because of Adam and Eve's sin, and your sin and my sin, we're born that way. We don't have to be taught how to have a temper tantrum. We don't have to be taught how to be selfish. We don't have to be, no, it just comes naturally because mankind, as men and women since the time of Adam and Eve, they inherited, every one of us inherited what's called a sin nature. That's why we don't have to teach anyone to sin. We can get better at it by learning different skills and talents and being dishonest or whatever, but nonetheless, we're born that way. And the only remedy for that is to accept the Lord Jesus who died on the cross because God loves sinners. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. And so in the greatest, we can't even comprehend it actually, in the greatest evidence of love, the greatest demonstration of love ever is that God would send his only son, Jesus, to die on a Roman cross for your sins and for mine. And so, friend, if you're listening today, maybe there's five listening, or maybe there's 50 or 100 or 500. I don't know how many are listening, so we're just going to say it's a few of us listening this morning. And if you're among those friends who are listening and you're really toying with eternity and saying, you know what, I just am not sure why there's Buddhism and there's Christianity and there's Mormonism and there's Shintoism and there's this and that and the other, how do I know what is true? You know, that's a legitimate question. So what you have to do is figure out, all right, what is the basis or what are the bases of all of these religions? And you'll begin to find, if you really do an academic study of it, you're going to find that once you chase down those standards for what they believe, sooner or later, they all come to an abrupt halt where maybe it was before the founder, or maybe it was, well, it could be a lot of different things. But when you come to the Word of God, it has every prophecy that has ever been written hundreds and thousands of years in advance. I mean specific things, not some kind of just ethereal out there in the sky. It's going to be rainy one day, and then there's going to be mud, and there's going to be... No, the prophecies in the Word of God are very exact, and they've been literally fulfilled, not allegorically fulfilled. They've been literally fulfilled. Whether it's talking about oceanography, whether it's talking about astronomy, whether it's talking about a historical thing, we call it pre-written history, a prophecy, that this is going to happen. Like King Cyrus was named 200, if I remember right, 210 years before he was ever born, and it was told what King Cyrus would do, and history tells us that is exactly what he did during his reign. I mean, we can just go on and on and on and on. We can talk about science and different things. We've done that before on the broadcast, so no need going into all of that today, other than to say this. The only credible source upon which an individual can rest his faith is in the Word of God, the Bible, that tells us who God is, what he's done for us, what is required for us to be born into his family, and have eternal life, to be saved. There's the word saved. It implies danger. To be saved from our sin and saved to the righteousness of God. Oh, the Bible says it like this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Friend, Oh, I would certainly love to hear you and see you, not just hear you, but meet you here this morning at Calvary Baptist Church. Oh, I would just be thrilled to death. Couldn't hardly stand it if I had the joy of meeting our radio friends. But you know the truth of the matter is, oh, that's nothing in comparison to seeing you in heaven one day, because that's forever. That is forever. And dear friend, the only way that's ever going to happen is for you to do what I did many years ago, when I just said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. No one has to tutor me or school me in that. I know I am. And because of my sin, the Bible says I'm on my way to hell. That's a place of temporary confinement. And then after the great white throne judgment at the end of time, the Bible says even the institutions of death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And then everyone, the Bible says in the book of the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They're not going to tippy-toe. They're not going to do a cannonball like, hey, this is going to be fun. No, the Bible says they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that's forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's not because you're a sinner that that's happening only. It's because you've rejected the Son of God. In one way or another, every man, every woman has rejected the Son of God who's ever going to go to hell. And I hope that this will be the day you trust Christ as your Savior. Please do that. You can do it right where you are. If you're driving a car, don't close your eyes while you're driving. Just pull alongside the road and just pray with all your heart. Because the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then it says, for whosoever, your name's in that, Mike, Mary, Sam, Pete, Schnortsky, whatever your name is, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's for you, friend. I hope you will. Well, we've invested a good bit of time in that again, but that's important as we have new folks listening to the broadcast probably every Sunday. And so I need to give them the opportunity of knowing what God says, how they can be saved from their sins and saved to the righteousness of God, and actually being born, the Bible says, into the family of God. Oh, that's a great thing. I hope you'll do it today. Well, we're in 2 Timothy 2 again. Now, we're going to look at a little different passage of Scripture. Remember last time, if you were with us on the broadcast last week, we talked about in a great house. This is in verse number 19. Well, actually, in verse number 20, it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that means set apart, and meet or fitting for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we invested the time last time in saying, wait a minute, in every one of our houses, now he's speaking here to those in the family of God, they've accepted Christ. And so in every Christian's life, as you and I step back and we objectively look at our lives and say, all right, Randy, I want you to look at your life and I want you to really evaluate, with the help of the Lord, evaluate everything that's in your life, your attitudes, your ambitions, your actions, everything that makes up this brave guy's life. Okay? Now, there are some things that are, the Bible says, gold and of silver. Some things of earthen vessel, that'd be like pottery. And some things of wood, that may be like a great carving. It says some of those things, though, are to honor, and other things are to dishonor. So what he's talking about here, when he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, not the honorable things. No, you want to hang on to those things, they're worth keeping. But the things that are to dishonor, oh my, as they would say in Texas, you need to get rid of that in a skinny minute. I mean, don't waste any time. Because if we purge ourselves from the things that are dishonorable, what's left? Just the honorable things. And when that's the case, then the Bible says that we will be a vessel that is fit or fitting or ready to be used for the master, like in a great household. There's plenty of things to use that would be for his or her benefit. Now, you say, well, what is it really getting? What's the bottom line, Brother Bray? Just give it to me real quickly, the bottom line. Well, that's good. I'm glad you asked. Right? Well, simply this. We have to be men and women, young people of discernment. You've got to be able to tell. This is really good. Now, my wife, she is able to just smelling milk and say, ooh, this has got a few days left on. Nope, nah, don't take any of this, Randy. She is really good at that. I am really bad at that. So I don't even, if I look at the milk carton and it says going to expire in 3 days, for me, I'll just get rid of the thing right then. And she goes, no, Randy, it's got two or three, let me smell it. And then she'll taste it. She goes, no, it's got a day or two left on it. All right. Well, she's able to discern from a lot of years. She's quite a lady in the kitchen. She just loves to cook and bake and all of that. And I am the beneficiary of that. Boy, is that great. So she's very talented at discerning that which is healthy and that which isn't when it comes to milk or really about anything else. And that's the way you and I, as children of God, are to be, because there are so many options that are in this world. And in our own thought lives, we have temptations that, Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 25, we've talked about that on the broadcast a few weeks ago. Now, there's a battle, the Bible calls it a war, in our mind. And the ambition of the old flesh that has access to our minds, it's not our old nature, it's just it has the opportunity or the ability to throw thoughts by way of temptation into our minds. And if we pay attention to it like a lure to a fish, the lure's in the water and it's being pulled in by the angler and just it's swimming and it's bouncing around and that fish goes, yummy, I think I'll get a hold of that. And it doesn't realize there's a hook. Well, that's the way temptation is. And when you and I give our wills, we let our will attach to temptation. The Bible calls it sin. Now, it's not sin to be tempted, but once our will attaches to it and say, yes, I want that. I'm going to think about that. I like that. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to, whatever it is, positive or negative, saying I'm not going to do it or I'm going to do it, but it's outside of the will of God, according to the Word of God. Oh, we got hooked, willingly so. And the Bible calls that sin. And it never stays right there. It says, and when sin it is finished, it bringeth forth death or corruption. And it always does, unless we get it right with God and He forgives us. Thank the Lord for 1 John 1:9. So, all that to say this, that you and I have to be discerning whether our attitudes, our ambitions, our actions are vessels that are filled with just honorable things, the gold, the silver, all those things that are honorable, or they're not. And we better get rid of those. Now you say, well, how do we become discerning? I'm glad you asked. All right? So what we're going to do is we're going to skip from verses 18 and 19. We're going to backpedal just a little bit and get to verse number 15. Some of you may know this by memory. I imagine you do. It says it like this in the Bible. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now watch this. He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. That dividing has the idea of discernment. All right, so let's go back and look at the words a little bit. Now I'm going to get a little technical here for a moment, if you don't mind. But that's why we go back to the first century language, the Greek language, because sometimes you can't translate all of it. The Bible would be about a foot and a half thick if you give it all of its original meanings, word for word, and you gave all of the various applications of it. And so the translators, whether it's English or Japanese or whatever the language it's being translated into, has to give it word for word to where it gives the exact context or exact meanings of the words that were used in the first century. So here we go. The word study, we're going to do this and then we're going to put it together. All right, so hang in there. If you're driving down the road, just listen. If you have your Bible, pull out your Bible and look at it, because the Bible says the word like this. It says, study to show thyself. So the word study, when you look it up in the Greek, and I have, it has the idea to exert oneself. It means to hasten, to get after it. In other words, it's not a casual glance. Well, I think I'll just look what the word study means. Well, I just go, well, you know, I don't have time, so I'll just... Study means to kind of, like I do sometimes in my recliner, I'll put my Bible or something I'm reading, and I'll put it up on my chest, and I'll lean back, and I have all the best intentions of really kind of giving it a good study, you know, but it doesn't stay there. Pretty soon I'm studying with my eyelids closed and my wife can hear. Well, we won't go into the snoring part. All right. Well, the word study here has a diligence attached to it. It means to exert oneself. Well, he says study, so there's the hastening, the exerting, to show thyself approved. Now, the word approved is an interesting word. In the first century, it literally had this idea in mind. You remember they would take various metals and melt them down, and they would put them into mold to make coins. Well, once it was hardened, they would take them out of the mold, and the edges of the coins were rough. So they would smooth out those and weigh them, and then they would be, you know, tender currency. It would be if they could use it in the marketplace or wherever. But once in a while, you would have those who were not honest. And so when they were smoothing out the edges, now everything, the emblem on it, the whatever was on the face of the coins or the backside of the coin, it would look, oh, it was perfect. I mean, just really good. But these dishonest merchants would take an instrument and they would shave off those rough edges and just a little bit extra off of this coin and a little bit extra off of that coin. And a little, well, you got the idea there, don't you? So they were dishonest. Now, it looked perfect, but when you put it on a scale, as most people wouldn't do, is they're just in commerce, they go to the store, they get their change back, and they wouldn't worry about it because it looked perfectly. Example, perfectly right, as the example should be. But it wasn't. They were being cheated. Well, the word here, study to show thyself approved, it's the Greek word, dokimos, which has the idea that it's weighed, it's fit, and you take it, or maybe it's like a nugget of something, and you take it to the assayer's office, and he puts it through the test, and it comes back, wait a minute, this isn't gold, this is pyrite, it's fool's gold, it's not worth anything at all, other than just a novelty, because it looks like gold. So the idea of dokimon is that it's true to what it's to be. If it's the coin, you put the coin on the scale and it weighs perfectly. It's not someone that's shaving it off and they're cheating you as they're going about it. So here's how we become discerning. You have to study. You have to get after it. Yes, it means getting into some Bible helps maybe, and anyone can study the Greek in it now with all the Bible helps you have, like Blue Letter Bible, and you have so many, many others that go into just a little bit of meaning. I've got books in my library that go into a lot of what it means in the various Greek words or tenses or whatever. So here's what he is saying. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now the word ashamed there has the idea in mind that you're to do a job, and after you do the job, somebody's going to come along beside, maybe your boss, maybe your parent, but they're going to come alongside, okay, I told you to weed the garden. Wait a minute. Those are weeds. Yes, they have blooms on them, but those are weeds too. I've got to get in there and get that too. Yes, son. Yes, daughter. Got to do it. You were supposed to weed the garden. You got to do it. Well, that's the idea where he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then, because you're not ashamed, because you did the right work in the right way, he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what? If we're not growing in the word of God, and that's what we're to study, because we know we need to know God's standards for every venue in life, every aspect of life. We are to know this is what God wants, this is what he requires, and when we do that, oh my goodness, we avoid a lot of the challenges. We know we avoid a lot of the problems that come into lives. Oh my goodness, it doesn't take but just a little bit for someone who loves the Lord, but they're not paying attention to what they're allowing in their lives. It may be the way they dress. It may be their attitudes. And maybe something happened to them and it would be logical that they would have anger or bitterness or fear or whatever it is, but they don't realize that when they allow those negative things to stay in there, they don't say, wait a minute, God has a righteous way for me to respond to every setting in life, no matter what it is. He has a righteous way for us to respond. And friend, when we do that, then it's going to continue to grow and build the other righteous areas in our lives. But in contradistinction to that, if we allow bitterness and anger and things like that, it degenerates even to the point where eventually people have what's called disorders in various ways. And it just, it wreaks havoc on their lives. I've dealt with many of them through the years. And so when you and I understand, wait a minute, why does God want us to study to show ourselves approved? Because in a great house, in our lives, there are things that are right, there are things that are not right, and we need to be able to come and say, okay, Lord, I want to have those things in my life that are absolutely the way you want them to be. And then we come to verse 22. We've only got about 4 minutes left, so I'm going to have to skedoodle. So verse 22, after giving study to show thyself, and we have discernment, and he talks about that great house and being able to discern, yes, this is approved to God. No, that's not approved unto God. I'm going to get rid of those things that are not approved so that I can walk with the Lord. I can be discerning. And then when that happens, verse 22 is written to young Timothy, but boy, I need it too. I'm not as young as young Timothy by a long shot, but I need this, and perhaps you do as well. Here's what he says in verse 22. He says, flee also youthful lusts. Now, flee is the old kind of expression, pick them up and put them down. In other words, you get out of there. And youthful lusts, they say, well, preacher, I'm not youthful anymore. No, you don't have to be youthful to have youthful lusts. A lot of the things that we fall for is those of us not so young. Oh, we fell for the same, maybe not the same kinds of things, but the same kinds of temptations that came into our lives as young people, so they just kind of grow up with us if we're not careful. So he says, flee also youthful lusts, but he gives a quartet of things, four things that when we're going away from youthful lust, we want to go towards these things, and when we do, we're going to have God's blessings. Here's what he says, flee also, that's pick them up and put them down. Flee also youthful lust, but follow. Now, the Greek word for follow has this idea in mind. It means to, well, it's actually translated as persecute. In the first century, in a bad way, that's put your hands on someone and don't let them go. That's in a bad context. But here it's in a good context, and he is saying, flee also youthful lust, but follow, put your hands on four things. Righteousness, faith, charity, that's godly love, and peace. And how are we to do that? With them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Hey, listen, friend, those of you who know the Lord as your Savior, and I'm saying it to myself today too, that you and I have a responsibility to be discerning Christians. Yes, we can fall for anything that's out there. It's moral or ethical or whatever. We can fall for anything that's bad and ugly and wicked, or we can be discerning Christians and follow after what God calls righteousness and faith and purity and godliness and all of the things that God wants us to be for His honor and glory. And when we do that with others, we find that kind of company. Maybe it's a church. Maybe you have some people who work with you that love the Lord Jesus. Oh, when we do this, oh, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, we trust and obey. Oh, what a great way to live, as the songwriter penned many, many years ago. Well, friend, if you're not saved, I trust today will be the day that you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. You can do it right where you are. Just mean it with all of your heart. And if you're here and saved and listening this morning, thank you so much. But I hope that you'll walk with the Lord as a discerning Christian. But also, I hope you'll come and visit with us today at Calvary Baptist here on Haywood Road in Hendersonville, North Carolina. I'd love to meet you personally. Until the next time, the Lord bless you. See you next Sunday.